welcome to Teachers Off Duty. If you've never joined us before, my name is Rebecca Rogers. I'm R. Rogers World on all social media platforms.
I'm Lauren Woolley, Mrs. Woolley in fifth on all socials.
I'm Honest Teacher Vibes.
Bree Richardson.
Why I don't give out my government name anymore.
Okay? And we don't give out that kind of person.
You don't have to give it out. They know it anyway.
You're right.
And this month, or for these next few episodes, we have an awesome guest. If you've been with us for a while, you might recognize him from last Thanksgiving. We have Josh Monroe. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me. My name's Josh Monroe. I teach fifth grade in Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm at Mr. Monroe and Nala on all social media.
We should have had Nala come.
We should have had Nala come. Tell everyone who Nala is.
If you would have brought Nala.
I posted that I was coming down, and somebody asked, where's Nala?
I know.
For those who don't know, who is Nala?
So Nala is my 7-year-old Westie, but she's also a certified therapy dog that joins me in my classroom.
Love
that
Nala.
That is literally so every day. And then, like, you know, just chills with all the kids. It was, okay, I saw that video of, like, Nala's last day at school and, like, with a kid that didn't get to say goodbye, so you brought her again. I, like, bawled my eyes out. I'm like, that was so sweet. And Nala just sat there the whole time and listened. It was so cute.
No, dude, you're literally, like, every time I watch your videos, I'm like, he is literally the Mr. Rogers of teaching.
Yes, he is.
It's because we must be related.
I'm like, I be yelling at my kids, and he's, like, really calm, like, hey, guys. And I'm like, if y'all don't sit down, it's about to be something. And I'm like, maybe I should try to be like Mr.
Listen,
Monroe.
I'm not going
to
lie. There were some moments this year where, like, after something had already occurred, I was like, now, how would Josh have handled this? And I'm like,
I do that sometimes.
Josh Monroe too. Might be one Shark of breaths. The nicest yes. humans ever. But yeah. It's so interesting because Nala is a therapy dog. And something that we are going to be talking about today is some of the reasons that teachers really need summer break.
Or like therapy.
Like the trauma that they deal with during the school year and just need the summer to really just get through it, deal with it, you know, get their lives a little
can
bit
you
more
imagine
together.
I was just going to say, and we know that we literally just had like kind of a discussion like this in a past episode, but a lot has transpired since then. And I think we all know what we're talking about here. So we're going to, you know, kind of talk about a little bit of that and, you know, our thoughts on those things and just.
Also, you know, our last episode was why teachers are leaving, you know, but there's still a lot of teachers who are not leaving and they still have to deal with all the crazy, all the trauma, all of the insanity that they have to deal with from the year.
Wouldn't y'all say that a lot of teachers, like y'all know I do the teacher stories series on YouTube. And from listening to those teacher stories, the amount of teachers across the United States that have developed PTSD because of some of the things that they deal with from teaching is astounding.
Well, I know some of the stories that some people have sent me in the past, you know, and I remember I was on the phone with Bree talking about, the teacher that got sent to the hospital. And she was like, do you mean the one that was choked by the computer cord? No, the one ridiculous that there's so many different stories. And if you aren't familiar with either of these stories, one that someone sent me was a student approached a teacher asking, you know, wanted to talk about their grade, wanting to raise their grade.
This was on the news, right?
Like it was in the news. I've made sure like all of these have been in the news.
Right.
And she said, you know, the teacher said, there's not much we can do about your grade right now, but like, let's see what our options are. She goes to sit by her desk. He comes up behind her with a computer cord and starts strangling her. And she wakes up just on the floor, and he's trying to put a cabinet over her.
That's horrible.
And he's yelling at her, and like, just trigger warning just for anyone listening, like, can you hurry up and die? Like, just hurry
up.
Was
that in the article?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. It's like one of the only things that she remembers is that he was just standing up over her because, like, I guess help was coming and he knew it, and he was just yelling at her, hurry up and die.
See, but the sad thing is that for a lot of people, that's not uncommon. Like, I mean, and I talked about this in the last episode about this, but like, you know, in the district I used to teach in, you know, it wasn't uncommon for teachers to get hit or kicked or scratched or punched or things destroyed. And it's like, you know, you can only take so much of that before it starts to really eat away at your soul.
And like, I feel like having a teacher, like, I know we, you know, you're probably like, y'all hype me up too much, but please continue.
Yeah, no.
But your students deal with a lot of trauma. They come from homes and backgrounds where some of them endure daily trauma. You know, some of them have had like big trauma events. some of the things, some of the ways that, like, that student, the way that he reacted to that teacher, imagine if he had had a teacher like Josh who was trauma conscious,
right,
and who had a therapy dog, how different. Because your kids are going to always remember my fifth grade teacher. I remember the way that he talked to me. I remember the way that he cared. I remember the grace that he had for me. And I remember he always had Nala in his classroom. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have been, that particular thing is probably changing the trajectory of some of your kids' lives.
Yeah, I think the way that we talk to kids is ultra important, right?
Right, right.
They need to know that we care for them, but it's also important that we get stories that you guys are telling out there too, right? Like, I don't think a lot of society realizes what teachers deal with.
Right.
And
right.
You and I teach elementary, so it's one thing if we get kicked by mm-hmm. a kindergartner or even a fifth grader. It's different when you're talking about kids that can
really right.
kill you. Really that are bigger you. Than you.
That are bigger than you.
Right.
Right? And if you're not trained in, like, CPI, which is mm-hmm. crisis prevention,
mm-hmm.
what do you do?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Because I heard a story about a teacher that's getting in trouble for breaking up a fight where this kid had a stapler, but he pushed him away, and they're suing the teacher. Like, stuff what? Like that's not okay.
For just pushing a kid?
For protecting himself. Yeah.
Oh,
but he wasn't trained. Wow. He wasn't doing it the correct way.
I'm sorry, you know, but if a kid's coming at me with a stapler, I mean, I wouldn't even think about that. That would be like a reaction.
Right.
We have a right to protect ourselves.
I don't think
a lot of society realizes
right.
those types of things that yes. we deal with daily right. because our students have gone
and
through
the
trauma.
The craziness is a lot of, like, just going based off that story that you told me. I thought of another story.
Yeah, Becca does this every single episode, and we love it because we love her. She is America's storyteller.
But the problem is, a lot of times, like, when it, a lot of times the big problem is there aren't procedures in place of teaching teachers or helping teachers in those kinds of situations. Another follower sent me another story that teaches a special needs class, mm-hmm. right? And there was one student.
Like self-contained or inclusive?
Yes, like self-contained. Yeah. And one student was very aggressive, very physical with the other kids, very aggressive with the other teachers. And one day he was, you know, having a meltdown, and one of the teachers was like, we need to separate him, help him calm down. So she took him into another room. Within 5 minutes, they heard her on the walkie screaming for help. By the time they got there, she was completely, like, unconscious on the floor. She needed surgery. And it's at the, like, you know, this is a special needs child. There's a lot that he can't help, but at the same time, there are not procedures, there are not things in place to help that teacher. There's not clearly not enough staff. The school is not they're not supplying the teachers with what they need to be able to help these students.
Right.
So, like, on one extreme, we have kids who are just purposefully aggressive, going and targeting teachers. Then we also have kids who need additional support, but the support isn't there.
Yeah.
And in both of these extremes, we have teachers who are really suffering, who are going to the hospital, who are having surgery. And I know that last week we talked about teachers that are leaving because of it, but there are still a lot of educators who are trying to power through and be there for these kids. And how do they deal with this over summer, knowing that they could be next?
Well, self-contained too. Like, the teachers, the stories that people send me, a lot of their stories have to do with teaching a self-contained sped class. And those self-contained sped classes, y'all, they do not have enough teachers. They do not have the supports that they need. And it's almost like sometimes they justify, oh, well, I know the teacher, their arm got broken or they got hurt really bad, but what can they expect? They're in a self-contained class. And I'm like, just because the class is self-contained doesn't mean that the teacher, there shouldn't be some protections and some policies and procedures in place.
Exactly.
Because wouldn't you agree, Josh, that, like, in your classroom, policies and procedures and structure helps cut down on a lot of, like, it helps prevent a lot of
100%.
Yeah.
And that's something that I love about my school, is that we have a lot of those things in place. And when a student gets to a place that they have shown they can't be successful in our classroom, there's another building that they go to. It's not self-contained. It's called SBS. So it's for skills and behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
but they go there and then they work to mainstream back into general ed classrooms. So
We have a building like that where I'm at, and like the one student I had this year, he's actually, you know, we were looking into options of, you know, well, what would work best for him, and he's like, it's like one of those situations where you're torn because you love the kid and you don't want to have to, you know, not have them in your room, but you have to like think what's best for them and what would be their least restrictive environment at that time. And then, you know, maybe it can change, but it's, you know, it's not, you know, this idea that like we're trying to ship away kids or like get rid of them by any means. It's like, you know, they're not being successful in the environment they're being placed in, and we have to do something about it, not just for the teacher but for the kid too. I mean, there's that student is also suffering by maintaining 100%. That status in that classroom that they're in.
Our job is to put them in places where they can be successful.
Right.
That doesn't always necessarily mean it's my class, and that doesn't mean that I don't love you as a person.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna help you be successful.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, summer break is a time, because a lot of times during the school year, things are so crazy, teachers don't have time to process the things that are happening to them. So summer is a time where I feel like teachers can, I mean, even teachers that are moms, like the times like we can spend extra time with our kids, or we can have time to process the school year and all the stuff that happened to us, because like some of our kids that grew up enduring daily trauma, there are teachers that go into schools and they endure daily trauma, whether it be a kid in their classroom that's tearing up their classroom because they're having a tantrum or they're having a meltdown and there's no systems and structures in place, whether it be a overbearing admin, whether it be another colleague. Like, I know sometimes as a teacher, there are certain behaviors that kids exhibit that when you walk into your classroom for that particular classroom as a teacher, you may not realize it, but you automatically have anxiety in your body.
Yeah.
So summer to me, like, is a time where you can process the things that happen during the school year. You can rest and relax and spend time with your family. But unfortunately, you know, teachers, a lot of teachers don't really get to relax over summer because they have to have a second job, or, you know, their kids are out of school and they're spending time with their kids. But a lot of teachers don't rest over summer break because they don't make a lot of money. So they have to work a second job.
Just a reminder, we don't get paid for the summer months.
I gotta make a clarification because okay, with the one episode we talked about, like, the misconceptions of teaching, and we mentioned that we don't get paid over the summer, there were a lot of people that were like, well, I get paid over the summer. I'm not saying you don't receive a paycheck. I'm saying you're getting paid for those 180 or 180 whatever days you work during the school year, and it's spread over 12 months.
They're not getting paid.
You're not actively earning income in the summer when you're at home.
Just spread it out.
Just had to clarify.
Yeah. I don't understand, like, any time we eat, either as a podcast or individually, or like, we teachers don't get paid for summer, there's always a few people that are like, well, I do. No, you get paid for the 10 months you're in school. Just because you spread it out over the year doesn't mean you're getting any more money. You don't get paid for summer months.
The amount of things that people think they know about teaching and think they know, it's like, you wouldn't be able to walk a mile. Like, you wouldn't be, you would literally run out of our classrooms with your hair on fire.
Everybody thinks, I had a teacher, so I know how to
I went to school, so I can be a teacher. Like, it's an entirely different ballgame. Like, okay, so another reason teachers need summer break is, you know, we obviously know what's been in the news in recent weeks, the tragedies that have been going on across the country. You know, the one in particular I'm speaking about, I'm sure everyone knows, Uvalde, Texas. First of all, let me just say, from all of us, our hearts go out to every single family that was affected by that tragedy. And it is honestly a disgrace to our country that things like that still happen here. And, you know, I don't want to speak for everyone, but for myself, things need to change. And
I'm already tearing up again. I mean, I'm so upset about it. I get so angry.
It's a tough subject to talk about, but it's an important one to talk about, because there's absolutely no reason that we should have lost 19 lives. Yeah. Like, there's no reason whatsoever. And, you know, those teachers, I know they're being called heroes, and they absolutely are, but we shouldn't have to be called heroes. We should be able to go to our jobs. Those kids should be able to go to school and feel safe and feel loved and be able to learn without feeling threatened. And it's sad that this is still happening, even though it continues to happen and we keep this cycle going of, oh, there's another mass shooting. Thoughts and prayers. We need to make a change. No changes happen. Another mass shooting. Like, it's just a cycle that keeps going on and on and on. And it's like, when is enough enough?
Right. And I mean, I'll speak as a mother. When I saw those parents waiting outside of the Civic Center to see if their kids
were chills right now. Y'all, like, I mean,
but it's something that we got to talk about. Reality, but those parents, I will never forget. I cannot get this one particular mom's face out of my mind, because imagine sitting there at the Civic Center as a parent waiting to see if your kids are going to come out. And those parents that were still sitting there at the end and their kids did not come out, they should not. Nobody should have to deal with that. We need policy change. We need procedures. We need things to protect these kids in school. Some of these schools, these kids are sitting ducks. These teachers are sitting ducks. Like, this is not okay. We need some change.
And I know everybody's first thought, you know, was, you know, well, two first thoughts, actually. One of them was, oh, well, there's not enough door security in the school. Do you know how much security there is at a school? Like, there's usually, you know, typically one way in and out of the school during the school day that you're allowed to enter and exit.
Right.
All of the other doors are locked at all times. There's no way to get in aside from the main school entrance. And even then, you have to be, at least at my school, you have to be buzzed in by the secretary. You cannot get in the building just, you know, opening the door. Everyone's first thought, and I've seen it going around on TikTok. I know you made a video about it. I'm sure, there are hundreds of other teachers that have replied to it, but there are people out there that are saying the solution to this problem with the guns is more guns by saying, let teachers carry. And I'm going to be the first one to say, if that was ever put in place, I'm sorry. I don't even care if it's like a, you can choose to carry.
Nah.
I'm out. I'm a quit. Like, I don't care. I that's not the solution. That's more guns is not the solution.
There are so many issues that I have with that. Oh, well, just arm teachers. There are so many issues that I have with it. Like, first of all, it really bothers me how, you know, teachers are not trusted to do their job. They're not trusted to teach their curriculum. They're not trusted to use their degree.
You can't ban some of these books.
You can't pick a library book, but you want to give me a gun? And like that,
it's baffling.
I made a video about that, and the number of people in the comments that were like, well, why can't the teachers who want to carry? And I'm like, that wasn't even the point of what I'm saying. The problem is, you trust teachers with a gun in the classroom, but you don't trust them to pick a library book. And that bothers me.
You don't want us to talk about families that have two dads, but you want us to be able to carry around a gun. Where there's kids that you just told the story where he comes behind and strangles a teacher.
Exactly.
Think about if that happened.
I'm like, and that's the hill you want to die on. Like, that's what bothers me.
And if that happened to that teacher and they had a gun and that kid took it and did something,
you know it would be the teacher's fault.
Yes. And what happens if there is a shooter? Does the teacher have to go towards the shooter? Well, like, that's police?
They're saying that the threat,
that's not on us.
Everyone's saying the threat could have been eliminated immediately. I am a gun owner. I'm not gonna hide that. I have a gun. You know, we keep it safe. It's in a safe. It's unloaded. I'm not anti-guns.
Yeah. Right.
But there are definitely There are definitely things that need to be done to make it more difficult to get them. And these semi-automatic and automatic rifles, like, why do we have those?
And why does an 18-year-old
their only purpose
one?
Of those machines is to kill. We don't need those in civilized society where we're just, you know, living our daily lives. And I will take that stance, and I don't care if you hate me for it. Like,
well, here's my
that's
thing.
Just not, it's not necessary.
Here's my thing, too. When stuff happened on planes, even after 9/11, y'all didn't ban planes. Y'all just put policies and procedures and systems in place. Why the freak are we talking about banning guns? Put some freaking systems and policies in place to protect teachers.
And
just
I'm not
like
going to be the one
on
to
freaking airplane.
Like, if they made that a thing where teachers had to carry, like, for one thing, I said I would quit, but if I didn't, I would not like, I could not fathom, you know, it being in that situation and having to take somebody else's life.
You're not a police
officer.
That is
not what I signed up for.
So, no. And usually it's a student or a past student.
Yes.
Right.
Not, I couldn't do it. How do you do that?
You want me to go up against one of my old kids? I don't care if they tormented me the entire year. Absolutely not.
But it's like, people are like, oh, well, you're not going to protect the ones you have. No, I would do everything in my power to protect the children in my classroom. Just like
those teachers in Uvalde do.
But I refuse to have a gun in my classroom. That is not the solution. And I have people in my comments on Instagram when I made a video about this, and I just, you know, made a statement saying that things needed to change. And there are people that are like, you know, they're turning it into some kind of team sport where it's like you're on one side or the other. And they're like, well, I'd be interested to hear what your proposed solution is. I'm like, just policies that make it more difficult to get these types of weapons.
I went through an actual, like, I had a real code red at my school a few years ago.
I remember you telling us.
Luckily, like, everything was fine. Like, no one was injured. Like, the situation was handled. But at the time, you know, we were just told this is a real code red. We were in lockdown. It was during lunch. So, you know, who practices code red during lunch?
The kids are all out.
We were just grabbing children and throwing them in classrooms. I shared a room with another teacher at the time. I handed her the fire extinguisher. And I said, literally, if someone gets in that door, because I had some of my Model UN kids in that room. Like, I mean, you know those giant scissors?
Yeah.
I literally grabbed one in each hand, literally felt like Wolverine for a second. I literally mentally prepare myself, and I told my co-teacher, or not a co-teacher, we just shared the room. I told them, if they come in, you spray the crap at them, and I had to mentally prepare myself. Yeah. Like, I'm going to have to do every single thing that I can to protect these kids, and I shouldn't have had to have done that.
Right.
Well, and the other thing, okay, so, like, my school, and I was telling you guys about this, my last day of school was May 27th, and I'm sitting in my makeup table in the morning getting ready. The high school starts at 7:30. We start at 8:30. I'm getting ready in the morning, and I get an all call that says that we're holding the high school kids on the buses, and there was an unfounded, like, social media post threat or whatever. So they said they would come back with updates in like 20 minutes, and we're like, okay. So I'm still getting ready for work, and then we get a call a few minutes later, and this was the same week, obviously, that the shooting happened in Texas. And they said that they're canceling the last day of school. They sent all the kids home on the buses, and they were like, you know, out of just an abundance of caution, we're just gonna, you know, cancel the last day of school and send everyone home. So I texted my principal, and I was like, okay, so like, they said students are going home, like, does staff still report, like, what do we do? And at first, which I know, like, she was in the moment just trying to figure out what was going on. But at first, she was like, yes, still report. And in my mind, I was like, so if the students are going home, why is it safe for me to be there?
If it's not safe for them.
But then, like, 2 seconds later, she was like, wait, no, stay home. And we were like, okay. But, like, I guess there was a student that had, you know, made a threat of some sort in a homework assignment that they had done. And so they literally had to sweep the school for a bomb threat on the last day of school. And I'm like, this is the stuff we're talking about.
Right.
We are terrified to go to work. And it's like, it shouldn't be that way.
The amount of teachers and kids that didn't go to work or send their kids to school the next day. Like, my daughter
terrifying.
My daughter starts preschool in August, and I'm scared. Like, I'm scared. And I know, like, people are like, don't live in a state of fear. I'm not living in a state of fear. I'm living in the reality of those parents in Uvalde, or those kids, the kids and the parents in Sandy Hook. If somebody had to call and tell me somebody shot my baby at school, like,
it's not a state of fear. It is reality.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
If we don't do something, if we don't make changes, we're going to repeat what we've done for the last 30 years.
Why is it okay that, you know, one mass shooting takes place in other countries and they have an automatic ban on these assault rifles and weapons like that? And have you heard of another mass shooting in those places? No.
Right.
And yet in America, we just live in this reality of this cyclical, okay, there's a mass shooting, thoughts and prayers, mass shooting, thoughts
bad
and prayers.
Bad people are always going to get guns.
Yeah, and everyone's just okay with it. And like, every argument that I've seen, you know, I've seen people, like, you know, break them down and kind of tear them apart. And then it boils down to, I don't care, I want my guns. And it's like, you know, I hate to say it like that, but that's what it boils down to. If you really don't care about those 19 children and teachers that were killed for no reason other than, you know, someone with a mental health problem that was able to easily grab a gun at 18 years old.
Right. Well, here's my thing, too.
There's no excuse.
Here's my thing, too. Why can you buy an assault rifle at 18? You can't buy a pack of cigarettes till you're 21, and you can't rent a car till you're 25, and your dang brain ain't developed all the way till you turn 25. Why can't you walk in a store and buy an assault rifle? And no disrespect to what you said about mental health, because some of these people genuinely are mentally ill,
right.
But some of these people are evil, because I have mental health things that I've been diagnosed with, PTSD and major depressive disorder. I don't like being lumped into a group of people that I walk in, because I am not homicidal. I might have a mental illness, but I'm not homicidal. I'm not going to walk in somewhere and shoot people. Some people, it's not mental illness. Some of these people are just genuinely evil.
Well, and then there was a shooting at a hospital that happened a few weeks ago. And there was one in Dayton, Ohio. And I don't remember where the other one was, but the one guy, it was, I think they said it was because he was like, he went to the hospital trying to get help for his mental health issues that he had going on, and he was denied because of his insurance, and then he came back and shot up the hospital. It's like, well, everyone's first argument is, it's not, guns don't kill people, people kill people. And it's like, okay, well then why are we not even funding mental health things
now,
too?
I do agree that we have a mental health problem in this country. Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with that. If somebody that struggles with mental health, we definitely 100% have a mental health problem in this country. And sometimes I know there are a lot of teachers that, like, they need mental health services, but they don't necessarily have the money. I know school insurance, sometimes they say, you know, we have the best insurance, but some stuff insurance doesn't cover. Mm-hmm. I think of now the position that I'm in to be able to afford to pay for counseling that was not necessarily covered by my insurance. And as a teacher, I mean, I remember when I was a teacher before I started social media, I didn't have an extra $20 at the end of the month, let alone be able to go to counseling and work through and talk through some things. Their mental illness can literally drive you crazy.
Yeah.
Like the different types of mental illnesses, the different types of disorders that people deal with, that stuff can really cause you to be crazy. So I do agree that some of these people that are going in and shooting up places have a mental illness, but some of these people are just evil in their heart. It ain't got nothing to do with mental illness. But there are certain countries that have similar gun laws to the United States, and they don't have nearly as many mass shootings, because the United States, definitely, we have a mental illness problem.
And you're so right that a lot of teachers at the end of the month do not have like the excessive income to be able to get the things that they need to help their mental health. Mm-hmm. And you know, the average starting salary in my state is $35,000.
Yeah, you can't do
nothing
with that.
You want to pay teachers $35,000, but you want them to be the Avengers too?
Right. Like, yeah, no, you're tripping.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, asking for too much.
You can't help both of them.
Y'all sound like admin. No. Asking for too much.
No. And, you know,
anytime admin come in, hey, be with the foolishness when you come in and say, hey.
No, and I'm sorry if I'm you know, having any hot takes today. Sorry if you feel that way.
Uh-huh. You go, Lauren.
But
this is something that really irritates me, because it's something that we can do something about.
Absolutely.
And it's just like we're not doing anything at all.
Because
and
it's going to boil down to people arguing they side.
Right.
And I'm like, I ask somebody, why would you need an assault rifle? They were like, well, some people use it to hunt. Some people, that's how they feed their family.
You use an assault rifle to hunt?
Man, I almost slapped. I was like, what? I'm finna lick your tongue out, because I'm finna smack the taste out your mouth. Just go ahead. Put your tongue out.
I can't.
We talk about what other countries are doing, and I don't know all of their policies, but we can look at stats to see the difference of 288 school shootings compared to the next closest country, which is at like 20.
Right. Yeah.
There's a huge difference there.
Right.
There's something that we're not doing
right.
that the rest of the world is, and it's time for us to realize we're not doing great things.
No.
Right?
And people have a problem with, and I said this in a video I made too, I was like, why are we protecting a sentence that was written, you know, hundreds of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, if we start changing that, what else is going to change? I'm like, that's what amendments are for.
That's exactly what I come back literally,
you didn't pay attention in government because that's what amendments are for.
They didn't teach us that in school. Yes, they did. You was
women
talking.
Couldn't vote before.
Okay.
That was an amendment.
We got rid of alcohol.
No one ever pays attention in those classes ever. I'm like, listen to me.
I didn't pay attention. Yeah. My friend said, I'm going to tell y'all how much I didn't pay attention in school. One of my college friends was like, he was going to scoop ice cream in Maine for the summer, and I was like, you got your passport to go over there? He was like, a passport to go to Maine?
No.
I was like, and then another one of my friends was like, he was from Alaska. He was like, yeah, I'm going home to Alaska. I was like, oh, you got your passport?
Brie.
I'm telling you, y'all, I was foolish. I failed that class.
I feel like when we were in Atlanta, we kind of played some geography dude, show you a map. Be like, hey, what state is that?
I was like, don't even ask me, bro. I'm directly Chinese. I ain't shamed neither.
Oh, my God.
I ain't shamed about it.
She doesn't do public math and she doesn't do public geography either.
I don't do public math. I don't do geography. I can make you laugh, but if you need me to count, we both gonna be up a creek without a paddle because I can't.
I think the bottom line is that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of non-teachers like to poke fun of, like, you can relax over summer. But the reality is over summer is when teachers are really dealing with trauma and feelings of things that have happened throughout the year, whether it happened to them or, you know, there's a lot of teachers that are having a difficult time with the shootings like Uvalde right now, you know, and you see comments online on social media of people saying like, oh, well, the likelihood that it happens to you is so small. But, you know, I'm sure the Uvalde families thought the same thing.
Sandy Hook families thought the same thing.
I'm sure Oxford felt the same way. Sandy Hook, I'm sure Columbine. We can name them all off.
There are people that I went to high school. There was a shooting at my high school, Millard South in Omaha. And I wasn't there, but it can happen anyway.
Right.
And it wasn't much long after that there was a shooting at the mall in Omaha.
Right. Exactly.
Like, these things happen because we don't make changes.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Everyone lives in the mindset of, it's not going to happen to me, so I don't care.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers, and then we move on.
Say your thoughts and prayers, and then have a voice.
Right.
Right. Right.
But remember when vapes and all this stuff first came out, they saw that it was causing teenagers to have, like, lung issues and stuff like that. So they changed the age that you can buy cigarettes. You can't buy a pack of cigarettes, I don't think, till you turn 21. But y'all didn't get rid of cigarettes. Y'all changed the laws on cigarettes because you saw the effects that it was having on kids. So why y'all trying to get rid of guns? Change these policies and procedures. Are y'all stupid or what? Like, are you dumb? Was you born yesterday or what? Like, come on. At this point, teachers, we mad. We're mad as hell. And we ain't finna be diplomatic or kind about it. We need some change. It's no reason this many kids and teachers should be dying. There ain't no freaking reason those two teachers in Uvalde should have had to cover those freaking kids. It ain't no reason they should have had to identify those freaking kids with dental records or by DNA. Something needs to change.
The thing that got me the most, there were two stories I heard about that issue. The first was a mother who literally was begging police to go in and get her kids. And she ran in and got her own damn kids
before
the police went in. And then the other one, there was a 10-year-old girl in the classroom that got shot up, and she covered herself in blood and acted like she was dead so she could survive. That is disgusting and despicable that a 10-year-old girl would have to do that. And if you don't feel that way, then I don't need you to watch our podcast anymore.
Unfollow us,
you need to go do something about it.
There were law enforcement going in to get their own kids before.
It's sad.
You know what else people aren't talking about that really grinds my gears, like, more than anything? And not more than it, like, there's so many things about the situation that, like, I've just cried about. But what has really angered me the last few days is, you know, everyone's been talking about the teacher left the door open. And I've seen so many we've now found, didn't they just find that didn't even happen?
My blood pressure.
I'm pretty sure I saw that they found that wasn't even a thing.
Why is the first response to victim blame?
Exactly.
Like, exactly. Freaking teachers get blamed for everything. I'm sick of these people.
I've seen so many posts about, oh, it's the teachers and blah, 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 about the teacher leaving the door open. But I'm pretty sure I saw a thing saying that wasn't even the case, that the door was closed. I'm pretty sure.
Explode.
And they just made it up. Just blame the teachers. What? And it's like, whether it be this, like, these are some serious things, you know, school shootings, bomb threats, kids attacking teachers. Like, when you, next time anyone ever thinks to make a statement to a teacher of, well, you can relax over summer, just remember that, like, these are the things that teachers are dealing with and, like, coming to terms with and dealing with the trauma from over their summer break that you think they just sit and do nothing.
And every time we see the pictures of those kids, right? I mean, I cry every single time. I didn't know those kids, but I see those kids every day.
And people, we don't need to look away. Be looking away.
No,
don't look away.
Post their faces.
Right. Don't look away.
We need to be uncomfortable.
Right. You need to be uncomfortable. And some of these parents, like, some of these parents, if they went and sat in their kids' classes and saw how some of these other, like, I've had parents, the good thing about the teacher stories thing is that it's given parents and admin in the district a perspective on, this is how y'all's teachers, these are the things that y'all's teachers are going through. And I have had parents comment and say, child, I went and sat in my son's classroom or my daughter's classroom, and those kids are bad as hell.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know. Like, multiple parents, like, how do y'all do this job? And I'm like, you would have to come and walk a mile in our shoes, and instead of, like, you would be able to have empathy and sympathy for what teachers deal with, because when we were in school, teaching is different now than when we were in school. Right. These kids ain't scared of authority. Parents come in and ask us what we did to their child.
Exactly.
For them to act like that. When I was in school, if you call Big Tracy, then my mama, if Big Tracy had to come to that school, she was asking, what did Bria and Brianna do? Me and my twin. She was not looking at that teacher and saying, what you do to my kids for them to act like that?
That's why I had to add my Thursday story times, because, you know, everyone loves when we tell funny stories and things like that.
But everything ain't,
but then you also have to acknowledge, like, the not so pretty stories and the scary stories. Right. Like, you can laugh all day at the funny ones of the kids saying the ridiculous things, and, you know, but at the end of the day, all of the funniness builds up to something that's really
not always funny. Yeah, we know this was a heavier episode, but we wanted to address some of the things that are going on in education. Right. Who would we be as teachers to not talk about what y'all are dealing with?
And just kind of remind the, you know, teachers know why they need summer break, but we just kind of want to remind everyone else, like, what teachers are really dealing with and reliving and coming to terms with. So,
well, thank you guys so much for watching. We hope that you found this insightful, and, you know, we know we're not the experts on anything, but we just had to give our two cents on those things. But make sure you go and check out the YouTube video if you haven't seen it. Follow us on all of our socials, and then our merch shop is open now, so you can go to shop.boardteachers.com and get our off-duty shirts.
You can get this one too.
We'll wear another one next episode. All right, guys. Love you.
Bye.